Why don't we welcome Pastor Steve to bring this morning's word?
Thank you. So did we take up the offering?
Yes.
Oh, I missed out on that. So I'll put it back in my pocket. Praise the Lord. Let's just pray right now. Father, we want to thank you for your presence. Thank you for your goodness in our lives. Lord, as we've already sung, when the Spirit of the Lord is here, something can happen. People's lives can be touched and transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. And so we just give you full access to this place, Holy Spirit, that every heart and every mind would be open to what you have to say today. And Lord, that it would find its place in good soil and it would bear much fruit. We pray for a spirit of impartation and revelation to come in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Just before I bring the word of the Lord today, I just want to appreciate the prayers. Pastor Kerry contacted me during the course of my mother's passing, and just really appreciate everybody's prayers, and appreciate Pastor Fred, who came on Wednesday to the funeral with his wife, and your support in that whole situation. So thank you for that, and the family thanks you. I've written a couple of books. So I bought them here last time. I don't know if everybody was here, but the first book I've written is called In Pursuit of the Call, which is all about understanding the process of the call of God upon our lives. When God calls us, he calls us from our place to his place. And there's a process that goes with that, going from your place to his place. And a lot of people enjoy the success and see the success of what God does in somebody's life. But what we should enjoy and what we should celebrate is the process of how we got there. Because that is where God placed things in us and put things in us. So that's available up the back after the service. And the other one is called Your Dream is in the House. And this is all about how and where to find God's specific desire and design for your life. And as I was reading one day the encounter of Jacob in the book of Genesis, God began to download some revelation about what would happen if people would plug themselves into the house of God and what's available there. God introduces himself to you in that place. He begins to unfold his dream for your life in that place and talks about what he has in store for not only your life but for your children's life and the generations to come. And so I've written that all down in a book. It's called Your Dream is in the House. And that'll also be up the back there if you'd like one. I've only bought a few of each one, so I don't like to overstay my welcome when it comes to product. But they've been written for the body of Christ. They've been written for people to be able to access God's revelation for those areas of their lives. This morning, I want to speak to you about the subject called Prophesy to Your Brokenness. Prophesy to your brokenness. God knows how to fix something that's broken. He specializes in putting broken things back together. In fact, Jesus himself said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted. God sent his Son and anointed him to heal broken people. Broken-hearted people, to proclaim liberty to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty those who are oppressed. Things are so broken right now in the world. Things are so broken in this nation right now that we're actually at a tipping point. And just hearing what God did with the leavers, we've got to understand that there's a broken generation out there that are trying to cover up things in their life that are broken. That's why they drink like that. That's why they take drugs like that. There's so much brokenness on the inside of people And Jesus is needed right now to see a great awakening, a great move of God. A tipping point is a point at which something becomes irreversible and unstoppable. What is happening in the Middle East? We saw some tragic things evolve over the last couple of days where, you know, a mosque was blown up and 200 and something people were killed. And Israel and the Middle East are a barometer of what is happening in the church and in our nation. A tipping point is a critical juncture. It's a defining moment in a series of events at which a significant and often momentous, there's an irreversible reactions that can take place in a nation, in people's lives. You can't fix these crises by fixing the economy. You can't fix what is happening in our nation and in people's lives and families by fixing the government, even though those things we like to fix. We've seen a nation like Zimbabwe just in the last few days, who's been under a tyrant, and now the people are celebrating in the streets. I have a spiritual son in Bulawayo. I go there every year, and I haven't been able to go there this year, but I go there nearly every year. And he said, "It's amazing, Dad, that the people are celebrating. We have no jobs. We have no money. They actually have no currency. We have no proper education." And he listed all the things that we don't have, but the people are celebrating. He said, "What a country." So a country that is broken. Nations are broken all over the earth. People are broken all over the earth. And God is wanting to come and bring a great awakening. And the church that wakes up to the purposes of God will see many, many people's lives put back together. The prophet Isaiah in chapter 60, verses 1 and 2 says, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people." This was prophesied 750 years before Jesus arrives on the scene. So this was prophesied nearly almost 3,000 years ago. This was prophesied about what is happening right now. That darkness would cover the earth and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and the glory of the Lord will be seen upon you. Martin Luther King Jr. said, "Darkness cannot cast out darkness, only light can cast out darkness." The nations and the kings, the Bible says in this chapter, will come to the brightness of your rising. Something's got to happen in the people of God for people to be attracted to us in such a way. There's such a glory, there's such a shining that's coming upon the people of God that attracts people to us. It says that kings and people will come to the brightness of your rising. Not his rising, but our rising. But it's what is happening that God does in our life and through our life that people will be attracted to. That phrase, "arise, shine," in the Hebrew means wake up and be set on fire. The church is at a place right now. It is crucial that the church wakes up and be caught on fire for the power of God to touch a broken nation, a broken generation. And John Wesley, who was part of the Second Great Awakening, was asked, "How do these crowds of people come to hear you speak? Why do they come?" He said, "It's simple. My response is this. I set myself on fire, and the people come to watch me burn." Come on, church, we need to set ourselves on fire. Not literally, we're not talking about suicide here. We're talking about the fire of God. We need the fire of the Holy Spirit that fell in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. We need that same fire to fall upon us today, that every broken heart, every broken person would be healed. You know, if we leave the door open on our car, the battery will drain out. And if we leave a spiritual door open, it will drain everything out of our life. It will drain the battery of our life. The number one door that we can leave open is knowing what to do and not doing it. Knowing that we should pray like we've never prayed before and not doing it. Knowing that we should prophesy some things into the city. Knowing that we should speak some things over our family. Knowing that we should prophesy some stuff over our children, but not doing it. That's leaving a door open like we would leave a door open on the car. Prophecy has the power to shift things. It has the power to move things in our life, to move some stuff in our marriage, to move some stuff in our children, to move some stuff in our community, to move some stuff in our church. In Jeremiah chapter 1, a young prophet, young teenage prophet, the Lord comes to him in verse 9 and 10, and he says, "The Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth." Prophecy, speaking out things and decreeing things, is simply speaking out what God puts in our mouth. God wants to put something in your mouth that will shift something. He wants to put something in the mouth of Hillside Church that will change this whole community, that will turn it upside down with a move of God. So he says, "Behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See, I have this day set over you the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, to destroy and throw down, to build and to plant." That's what God's word can do in your mouth. It can uproot some stuff that shouldn't be there. It can pull down some things that are hindering what is happening in your life. But it also can plant some stuff. It also can build some things that will last for a lifetime. Right from the beginning, God's word brought light and it brought life. It says in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. We just read that the prophet prophesied in the last days that darkness would cover the earth and deep darkness the people. And darkness was on the face of the deep at the beginning of creation. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Now waters prophetically speak of people in the Bible. And right now, the Spirit of God is hovering over your marriage situation. He's hovering over those relationships that are broken. He's hovering over your children's situation. He's hovering over your workplace, over your education place, waiting for the Word of God to be spoken. Waiting for something to be spoken, prophesied out of your mouth. Something that God has put in your mouth. The Spirit of God is waiting, because when it is spoken, the Holy Spirit can take a hold of those words and begin to shift things and create things and move things that cannot be moved in any other way. We have to war with the words that God gives us until we see it manifest in our life. A young budding apostle, Timothy. In the first book of Timothy 1:18, his spiritual father, the apostle Paul, is speaking into his life. He says, "I charge and I commit you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that you by them you may wage a good warfare." Now, we all love to receive a prophecy of encouragement and edification to build us up, something to exhort us from God. It was wonderful to hear that prophetic word come this morning. God was trying to encourage us to let the walls down so he can come in and heal the broken places of our lives. But we can have a drawer full of prophecies and say, "I got a great word." But the question is, what did you do with that word? What did you do with the prophetic utterance that came, that was spoken over your life? The apostle Paul is saying to his son in the Lord right here, "I want you to take that word. I want you to take what was spoken over your life and begin to war with it. I've got many prophetic words
from years ago. A lot of them have come to pass. Some of the words have not yet come to pass. But when I find myself in a situation where brokenness is around my life, and you friends, we're all broken people. If we're really honest, we're broken people with a great God living on the inside of us. Hallelujah. It's hard to love somebody when you're broken. But Jesus said we are to love one another as Christ loved the church when it comes to husbands and wives. But he said we have to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. The problem is most of us don't really love ourselves. So how can you love somebody else if you don't love yourself? The reason being is because we're broken. We're broken on the inside. So the word of the Lord is coming today to shift the brokenness, to heal the brokenness that's on the inside of our lives. So come on, Timothy. Start to wage a good warfare with the words that were prophesied over you. The words that were spoken over you. Job was encouraged by the Lord in his broken state. Let's not forget what happened to Job. He's a blameless man. He didn't do anything to deserve what had come upon his life. God just allowed the enemy, Satan, to touch him. His children were killed in a freak storm. All of his livestock, all of his possessions were taken from him. And all he's left with is an ash heap and boils all over his body. And in the middle of all of his pain and his brokenness, the Lord comes to him, Job 22, verse 28. And he says to him, you will also decree a thing, or declare a thing, or prophesy a thing, and it will be established for you, so that light will shine on your ways. See, if we would just take the word of the Lord that he puts in our mouth and begin to speak it out and decree it over the situations of our lives, it shall be established. What God declares will be established, and it will shine light on our ways. Jesus said, we've got the powers of binding and loosing. I will give you the keys of the kingdom, he said in Matthew 16, verse 19. The kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind, whatever you declare to be improper and unlawful, I'm reading from the Amplified here, on earth must be what is already bound in heaven. And whatever you loose or declare to be lawful on earth must be what is already loosed in heaven. So if you've got a Bible, that was the introduction. If you've got a Bible, turn with me to the book of Ezekiel 37. And let's read what God says to the prophet Ezekiel in what looks like an impossible dead situation. Reading from verse 1, Ezekiel 37, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. Then he caused me to pass by them all around. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, many dry bones. And indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord, you know. Again, he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones. Surely I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you, cover you with skin and put breath in you and you shall live. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded. See, a key to seeing something shift in your life is doing what God tells you to do. We can pray and ask God about our situation, and then he speaks to us and tells us, if you do this and this, I will break it open for you. I remember years ago, you know, when people get old, they say years ago. We'd been in a factory unit as a church and we'd outgrown it. And I had my eye on this great sports pavilion on the corner of Whitford's Avenue and Wanneroo Road. And I was told you won't be able to get in there because there's a 13-year lease on it. So I was praying about this one night. And in the middle of the night, at 1 a.m. in the morning, the Lord said, I want you to go and dance in front of that building. Now you can say, get behind me, Satan. Or that must be some crazy thought that came from somewhere. But I'd learned to recognize the voice of God. So I got up from where I was praying, got in my car, drove down to that building and stood in front of it. Nobody was around. In fact, I was looking over my shoulder to make sure nobody was. And so, very gingerly, I began to take a few steps, you know, and looking over my shoulder the whole time. But then the Spirit of the Lord came upon me and I began to dance in front of that building. I began to praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord! And began to dance. Just dancing, dancing, dancing. Within 2 months, we were in that building worshiping the Lord. The guy could not pay his rent and so he was evicted from the building. And we came in. If we will do what God says, prophesy, Ezekiel. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise and suddenly a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to bone. Indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them. And the skin covered them over. But there was no breath in them. And he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Notice he's always doing what God asked him to do. And breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say, oh, bones, our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Thus says the Lord, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up from your graves, I will put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I will place in you in your own land. Then you shall know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, says the Lord. In verses 11 and 12 there, it says, when they say there is no hope, prophesy. When they're saying there's no hope in this marriage, prophesy. When they're saying there's no hope in this situation with our children, prophesy. A picture here of supernatural alignment happens when Ezekiel prophesies. Prophesy means to speak or sing by inspiration in prediction or simple discourse. And we read that when he spoke to Jeremiah, I'm putting my word in your mouth. So prophesy as I have directed. This is a nation, Israel, that had lost hope. God can restore a nation. Do you know that? He can restore a nation. The prophet Isaiah asked the question, can a nation be born in a day? The answer is yes, because on the 40th day of May, 1948, God fulfilled the Ezekiel prophecy. And the nation of Israel was born as a fulfillment of prophecy right here in this passage of Scripture. So this is God's power and methodology and manual of realignment and restoration of broken nations, broken people, broken marriages, broken lives. The first thing he does, number one, he reveals the brokenness. He reveals the brokenness. God shows
Ezekiel this mass grave. A valley of dry bones. And he walks him up and down in the valley. He makes him look at it. He reveals the brokenness of this nation. When we don't like to look at, we don't like to, do we? We don't like to look at brokenness. We pretend it's not there. We don't talk about it. We busy ourselves with other things by burying our life in hobbies and work and some other project, but all the time it's festering under the surface. And it's still broken. We try to mask it with some sort of medication, some drug, some alcohol, or something to mask the pain of the broken situation. There's no place for denial when it comes to brokenness. We have to look at it. We have to look at what's out of alignment. My daughter's sitting here when she was little in the early days of our church. She used to skate on rollerblades. One day, at the end of the service, she's skating in the car park of our church and she's saying, we have this little thing about her and I'm not wanting to embarrass her, but she always says, look at me, Daddy, look at me. And as she's saying, look at me, Daddy, look at me, she falls over and breaks her arm. And I had to look at the arm and you could tell it was disfigured. It was all bent out of shape. You know, one of those twisters. When you look at a broken arm, it looks hideous. But you have to look at it to realize it's broken. So the Spirit of the Lord is saying to us today as His people, don't mask your brokenness. Don't try to hide what's broken on the inside, what's happening in your marriage, your home. You've got to look at it and acknowledge it's broken. You see, because what God reveals, He will heal. What He reveals, He heals. But we don't want to look at our problems because we don't have the answers to them, to be quite honest. We just try and push them aside and hope it'll go away and the situation will fix itself. But I'm here to tell you, don't be afraid to look at it. Fear is the destruction of the kingdom. You see, the kingdom of God is within us. It doesn't come by observation, it's within you. And the very thing that can help you, that lives on the inside of you, Jesus, the King of the kingdom, is there ready to speak His word out of your mouth. Fear is a false evidence appearing real to us. And it's the false evidence in our marriage or in our situation that we focus on that causes the brokenness. Fear holds us hostage and paralyzes us. And stops us moving forward. But every problem has a solution. God has a solution for every situation. If He can heal me, and He can heal a nation called Israel, He can heal your problem. Jesus said He was the resurrection and the life. His word will bring life and resurrection to your situation. But first, we have to look at it. Ezekiel, take a look at it. Look at these dry bones. Look at this dry nation. Look at what's happening in Australia. Who'd ever thought 20 years ago we'd see a vote go the way it did the other week? So then, number two, He asks us about our faith. He says to Ezekiel, can these dry bones live? He wants to know what you believe.
What do you believe, Ezekiel? I want to know what you believe about this hillside. Ezekiel fakes it and he says, well, you know, Lord. Yeah, God does know, but he wants to know what we believe. God is looking for faith here today. What do you think can happen? It seems that the spirit of negativity or complaint has been released across the earth. God has given me the privilege to travel many nations. And often I hear of what is happening in people's lives. I hear this negativity. We talk about the problem instead of speaking to it. Fear is hitting the nations. People are losing their faith. Negativity has to be adjusted out of us. And we need to be realigned from our brokenness. Just like that broken bone, it needs to be reset, realigned. Negativity kept Israel 40 years in the desert. Fear pleases the devil, but faith pleases God. That's why he asked the question, what do you believe? Can these dry bones live? Can this brokenness be fixed? Fear will keep you in your situation broken, but faith in God and his word will heal you. Many years ago, at the turn of the industrial age, this shoe company sent a salesman to Africa and wanting to increase their business. So he goes there, he's there for 3 months. They get in contact with him, say, how's the sales going? He says, not so good. Nobody wears shoes here. So there's no market. So they pull him off the field and they send somebody else into Africa. He's there a little while. They contact him and they asked him, how's things going? He said, oh, fantastic. Nobody wears shoes here. Everybody needs shoes. You see, it depends on your perspective. What you perceive something to be, whether it's negative or whether you can see there's a possibility or a potential that could come out of this, what seems hopeless situation. So, what do you believe? Number three, he gets you up on your feet. He gets you up on your feet. In the book of Ezekiel, there's a couple of passages where Ezekiel is having a vision of the glory of God. Ezekiel 1:28. And it says he fell upon his face. And at the beginning of the next chapter, Ezekiel 2, the Lord says to him, Ezekiel, son of man, stand up on your feet and I will speak to you. And the Spirit entered into me. And when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, I heard him speaking to me. On another occasion, in chapter 3, same thing happens. Glory of God, he's seeing. He falls on his faith. It says, the Spirit of God enters into me and set me up on my feet, and he spoke to me. In Ezekiel 43, a similar situation. He's seeing the depravity of the city, and God comes into the situation. He falls on his face, and then he says, the Spirit caught me up and brought me into the inner court. And behold, the glory of the Lord filled the temple. What this is saying to us in our broken problem, prophetically, stand up. Get up on your feet. He takes us from the horizontal to the vertical. Now, during the last few months, the last 2 months, I've been by my mother's side, watching her deteriorate, a woman of faith. And every night, we would believe God together for a miracle.
But I also discovered what the Word of God says. You know, when the time, when our end of days has come, they have come. And there's nothing that we can do about it. But I'd rather live in faith than die in unbelief. I'd rather believe right up to the end. Even when we had to switch off the machines, I was still believing for a supernatural miracle. And the thing is, we can get all downhearted because we didn't see the miracle. Or we can get up on our feet and begin to prophesy again and begin to speak God's word again. When Pastor Kerry said, you know, you probably won't want to come, I said, no, I'll come. Because God needs to release his word to the people of Hillside. God needs to speak to the precious people of Hillside Church. So stand up. Jesus on the cross took us from the horizontal to the vertical. From darkness to light, from the earthly, and seated us in heavenly places. From minus to plus, as Reinhard Bonnke used to say. And probably still saying. Amazing. He just did his last great crusade ever in Nigeria. Millions of people got saved. That was his going out crusade. Never again to have a crusade in Africa. His protege has taken over there. You see, prayer is great. But it's time to get up off your face, stand up on your feet and take some action. I'm not saying don't pray. But I want you to pray, but also prophesy. Begin to speak some things out over your situation. God wants to take us from fear to faith. One day Jesus came to a pool called Bethesda. And the Bible says in the Amplified, it was full of broken people with no hope. Full of broken people. And there was one man there with a long-term disorder. He had a long-term brokenness in his life. He looks at the man and says, do you want to be made well? And while he's making all of these excuses, all the negativity starts to come out of his mouth. He says to him, rise up, take up your bed and walk. Get up on your feet. Jesus didn't come to sympathize with the man. He came to heal him from his brokenness. His long-seated disorder. He says, get up on your feet. What are some of the things that have got you down and out? Don't feel like praying anymore. Don't feel like doing this and that anymore. Don't feel like reading my Bible anymore. Jesus said, as he came to raise Lazarus from the dead, I am the resurrection and the life. I am means the all-sufficient one. I'm the all-sufficient one for your situation, for your problem, for your brokenness. One of the scriptures I read out at my mother's funeral. I would not have you ignorant, brethren, about those who fall asleep in death, that you may not grieve for them as the rest who have no hope beyond the grave. And those who have departed this life in Christ will rise first. Therefore, comfort and encourage one another with words. Many of us have loved ones that have gone just like that. Something's happened. But I want to encourage you, if they died in Christ, they'll be the first to rise when Jesus returns. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also restore to life your mortal, short-lived, perishable bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you, Romans 8:11 says. Isaiah prophesies about a broken Savior that we heard about in communion this morning. He said, this is my body which was broken for you. His body was broken. Listen to the descriptive words of the prophet. He says he was despised, rejected, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He bore our griefs. He carried our sorrows. He was smitten. He was afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. Chastisement for our peace was upon him. By his stripes we are healed. The Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. All of the sin of those 7,000 young people that the Red Frogs people went to witness to. All of that sin he laid upon himself. God laid it upon him. He carried it all. The sin of the whole world. He was oppressed. He was afflicted. But he didn't protest or complain, it says in the Amplified Bible. He was oppressed and afflicted. He was led as a lamb to the slaughter. A sheep before the shearers is silent. He opened not his mouth. Didn't say a word. He was cut off from the land of the living. He poured out his soul unto death, speaking of his blood. The life is in the blood, the Bible says. And in the Amplified Bible, it says, the life, the soul of the animal is in the blood. So when Jesus' blood was poured out, his soul was poured out upon the earth for the sins of every man, woman, and child, every broken person on the face of the earth, he poured out his soul for. So we're not talking about a Savior who can't identify with us. He's able to identify with brokenness. He's able to identify with a broken people, a broken situation, a broken marriage. I mean, parts of his bride separate from him all the time. He knows what it's like to be broken in every situation of our life. That's why he can empathize. That's why he can identify, the Bible says. We have a high priest who can identify with us. He's not some far off God who, you know, who's untouchable, who doesn't understand where we're at. He fully understands. He fully understands our brokenness. He fully understands that we are frail, according to the Psalms. And so, in another miraculous graveyard situation, a broken Jesus cries out from the cross, and he cries out with a loud voice in Matthew 27:50, and gave up his spirit for each one of us. And at once the curtain of the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook. The rocks were split. The tombs were opened. And many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep in death were raised to life. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many. So Ezekiel said, I prophesied as I was commanded. And breath and spirit came into those bones. And they lived. And they stood up on their feet, an exceedingly great host. When he speaks, things stand to attention. People take notice when Jesus speaks. He knows that even when we were dead and slain by our own shortcomings and trespasses, he raised us up together with him in heavenly places. Power is relieved when you get up on your feet. So people of Hillside, rise up and walk. Stand up on your feet. And lastly, this morning, he commands us to prophesy. He actually expects us to do what he asks us to do. Think about the problem and prophesy to it. Say what God says. Stop expecting God to address the situation. You talk to it. You speak to it. He said, if you have faith as of a mustard seed, you will speak to this mountain, be removed, and be cast into the sea. Come on, it's time to speak out to the brokenness, to prophesy. Declare what God says about it. As you prophesy to it, something will happen to it. Something will take place. Start talking to the problem, and from your mouth will come resurrection. From your mouth will come restoration. prophesy to your broken places. Bones will start to come together. Structure will begin to happen around your life. Things will be put back together. Marriages will be put back together. Broken pieces come together. Flesh and skin are covering. God covers us with the banner of his love. So, if there's still no life, Ezekiel, keep on prophesying. Keep speaking to the situation until you see something manifest. So what needs to come together in your life? Let's stand to our feet. What have you been looking away from? What have you refused to look at? What things in your life? Take a look at it right now. Let's just close our eyes. Look away to Jesus. Start believing. God is asking you, what do you believe? Can something change? Can this dry situation in your life live? Can this broken part of your life be put back together? So stand and prophesy. Begin to speak to the situation. As I was praying for the church, God gave me a picture. And I saw these arrows, these missiles coming towards Hillside Church. And many times over the years, they've come to this church. But somehow they get deflected and extinguished. And I believe the Spirit of the Lord would say to you tonight, today, people of God, that because of your faith, I've put up a missile, I'm trying to think of that word, a missile zone that extinguishes missiles. You know, the ones that they put up over Israel, and a shield, that's it. A missile shield over this church. The shield is here because of the faith of God's people. And over the years, many arrows have come to try and penetrate the heart of this church and try and destroy this place. But God says, I will not allow it to be destroyed. I will not allow these missiles to gain entry into the very heart of this church. So keep on believing. Keep on putting up the shield of faith, says the Spirit of God, that you may extinguish all the fiery darts of the wicked one. For I've come, says the Spirit of God, with a great purpose for this house. This is merely the beginning of what I want to do in this place. So would you lift up your shields of faith again? Many of you have been wearied in the battle and begin to lower your shield. But the Lord would encourage you today, lift them up again. Because even as the enemy would seek by fear to cause you to lower those shields, I today am coming and saying, what do you believe? What do you believe today? What do you think would happen to your situation? So just begin to pray. Just begin to speak out some things over your lives, your marriages. Come on, just begin to use your mouth. Let the word of the Lord start to come out of your mouth. Begin to speak what God says out of your mouth. Maybe some of the things you've heard this morning, just begin to speak it out. Begin to prophesy it out. Breath, come. Mighty rushing wind, come into my upper room. Let me begin to speak as the Spirit gives me utterance today, Lord. The wonderful Holy Spirit is in you and upon you to speak heavenly words through you to your brokenness right now. Speak them out. When we don't know what to speak as we ought to our situation, the awesome Holy Spirit helps us in our weaknesses to prophesy groanings that cannot be uttered. God speaks to you, but you have to speak to the problem. You have to speak to the situation. So come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Come, Holy Spirit, in this place. Let your power and your presence touch this place. Hey, let your power and your presence touch this place. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, Jesus. Hey, hallelujah, hallelujah to the Lord. Yeah, let your power and your presence touch this place, Lord. Come on, let your power and your presence touch this place, oh Lord. Let your power and your presence touch this place. Hallelujah to the Lord our God. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, let your anointing touch this place, Lord. Let your anointing touch this place. If you're just feeling a little too weary to speak or to prophesy, you just need some help right now, we're just going to open up the altar in these last few moments. Come along and lay hands on you, pray with you. Thank you, Lord. Let your power and your presence touch this place. Yes, Lord. Let your power, Lord, and your presence touch this place. Yeah, let your power, Lord, and your presence touch this place. Let the fire of the Holy Ghost come in this place. Yes, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, speak to the broken places, Lord. Let your anointing rise again in his life. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. We bless you. We all honor you, Lord, right now. Yes, Lord Jesus. Bless you, Lord.